Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
WHO has said that the rollout of vaccines is unacceptably slow. They're the words they used, and they say it's prolonging the pandemic in the wider European region. They've also expressed concern about variants of concern continuing to spread and increased mobility and gathering at Easter time. Let's speak now to Dr. Catherine Smallwood, Senior Emergency Officer at the WHO offices in Europe. Dr. Smallwood, you're very welcome to the programme. You can hear me?
I can.
Very good. I want to address your concerns in the WHO because the organisation is quite critical of the rollout of vaccines in Europe. But the response from Europe, from Brussels, they say, look, it's down to supply. We can only go as fast as the supply from the manufacturers. Is it not a fair point?
Absolutely, it's a fair point. And when we're thinking about this vaccination campaign, it's the biggest campaign that the world has had ever. We are trying to vaccinate every single adult in the world for COVID-19. And when we're talking about Europe, WHO's European region covers not only the European Union area, but also Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and the Caucasus countries and the Balkans. So we're talking about a broad range of countries with a very significant divergence in the amount of people who have been vaccinated for COVID-19. And our message is that we need to increase supply, we need to increase the delivery of vaccines to the people that need them, and we need to do this together by accelerating together. And that's actually something that the European Union has done very significantly well, is that countries in the EU are moving at the same pace, and that's something we want to replicate around the world.
Yeah, and we'll address vaccine discrimination maybe in a moment or two, but how concerned are you when you look at the rising numbers of COVID right across Europe, particular pressure points obviously in certain countries, but when you look at that and you look at the pattern of increased hospitalizations and deaths and the pressure on health systems, how worried is the WHO?
We're particularly worried at the moment. The situation now is worse than we've seen in several months. So in the last week, we saw 1.6 million new COVID-19 cases in a week. That's higher than we've had for a very significant period, and we might be reaching record levels. So although the hope is really there for vaccination, and that's why we're really calling on everything to be done possible to increase production, increase supply, increase attention towards high-risk groups, most of the population remains vulnerable to the disease and susceptible to the virus, which means that we need to not fall into any sense of false security. We need to really buckle down, and it's difficult to hear and it's difficult to say. I, as much as anyone, want us to start moving back into normal life, but we've got a ways to go, and we've done really well getting here, and people in Ireland have done incredibly well over the past couple of months to really decrease numbers by tenfold in Ireland.
And that has been recognised by the Taoiseach in his latest address here. But he said that we're dealing with a different beast altogether with the newer variant that we have here, the B117. Is he right, number one? I mean, can we ever get down to low double-digit numbers of COVID in Ireland again with the stringent lockdown that we have, given the fact that it's much more transmissible, this B117, than the original variant?
Yes, we can. That is the message. And we might all need to do a little bit in addition to what we've done in the past to get there, though. And it's really important for us to remember that all those tools that we have in order to bring cases down, they remain valid for this variant of concern. It's not that they don't work. It's just that the virus has outwitted us a little bit and is getting a bit better at doing what it already did. But we need to keep on going.
But that phrase that you use there, do a little bit more to get there, that is eerily like a phrase that was used by the Deputy Chief Medical Officer here, Dr. Ronan Glenn, maybe a week or two ago. And the backlash on social media in Ireland, Dr. Smallwood, was incredible. And it came by and large from a very fatigued public. They say the vast majority have done adhered strictly to the stringent restrictions, and the backlash was because they felt they couldn't do any more.
Well, I think Ireland has got down to several hundred cases during the course of a single day. The numbers are much lower, and I think that means that we can really start looking at targeting interventions much more specifically. If Ireland can really get to tracking, identifying each single case, making sure that people who are confirmed with COVID-19 isolate themselves, making sure that we're working together as at the individual level, that will mean that we won't need to resort to the nationwide lockdowns. But it really will require everyone to get that additional piece of energy and resilience. I mean, this is what we're talking about here. It's a resilience.
And I suppose you have to have a contact tracing system to match then if you want that type of system and avoid a national lockdown. How important, in your opinion, in the WHO is... how important an element, I would say, is the mandatory hotel quarantine in the effort to control the virus? Because we've recently introduced one here.
Well, that is really down to the country to look at the risks and the relevant incidents that's happening in Ireland versus other places in the world. And once Ireland gets to a position where its relative incidence is much lower, then it can really look at making sure that other... The risk of international travel coming into Ireland can be managed effectively. But at the same time, we can't just forget about what's happening locally. There's still significant potential for spread in Ireland without any impact of international travel. Mm-hmm. So I would really commend Ireland for coming this far and keep on going with where you're, the direction that the island has been heading. Bring those cases down.
Yeah, because the vast majority of cases we have here have come from the disease being endemic in the community we have here.
That's right.
But given the fact that the government has introduced a mandatory hotel quarantine system, I just do want to ask you about one particular element of that, because it's not universal. It's not for all entrants to Ireland. It comes from a specific list of countries. And there was talk of adding to that list of countries recently. But our Minister for Foreign Affairs said, he suggested that Irish people, he said, for example, coming from France, could be exempted from the mandatory hotel quarantine system because they could effectively self-quarantine in their own homes here. Does that make sense to you from the point of view of controlling an infectious disease like COVID?
Well, I don't think we should focus on one thing only. We really need to look at the package of measures. So that in addition to the hotel or the quarantine hotels that have been proposed and are being used by some countries, there's also mechanisms for testing people on arrival and quarantining at home. Of course, the key here is that whatever measures or requirements are put in place, that they're complied with, and that's something that we need to provide those incentives for people to comply with all of the measures that are being requested by people, and that's really key, is getting community involvement and making sure that if that's what we're saying, that that's what actually people are inclined to do.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you finally then, Dr. Smallwood, people are growing frustrated and tired and angry with the restrictions, especially the stringent restrictions we have here. The question people have, I suppose, is how long more must people endure the stringent lockdown? Will vaccination emancipate us from this type of living with COVID?
Well, maybe eventually, yes. And I think we can all be hopeful of that, but that's not going to happen overnight. And that's partly because of this vaccine supply issue, the fact that we're still having to deal with a really limited resource. And if you look at other countries such as Israel, where they've had a sort of broad supply of vaccine, it still took them quite a long way in terms of the percentage of people covered with vaccination for them to be confident to be able to lift some of those public health measures. So we've got a little way to go.
About a year.
And, I would not be in the position of making any projections. I think anyone who's made projections has regretted it afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Look, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. I really appreciate
Thank
it. Dr.
You.
Catherine Smallwood, who's Senior Emergency Officer at the WHO Europe.